12, if you'll turn with us this morning, we're going to look in the book of John, 1 John. You can go over there. I tell you, it'd be vacation Bible school, be on us before we know it. I was telling somebody the other day, we used to have it, you know, always kind of the 1st of June if we could. And I said, I remember being concerned about it being a little bit too cool. I said, but the last several years, that's not been a, being too cool has not been a concern. We used to throw water balloons and things like that. And you'd think, well, I don't want the kids getting wet and being too cool, you know, because you might have an evening where it was in the 60s. But I think a lot of those days are at least gone by for a while. We don't see those days much anymore. I was going to read you something over here, too, if I can find it here. Just kind of get us started there. But I spend a lot of time now, which I wish I didn't have to, but seem to be getting some better. But a lot of time I have to stay reclined or sit a certain way or have to be standing up or trying to walk, and which is good for me. But I say that because I guess that takes a lot of time gazing out the window, too, because even in class, like if we were giving exams or something, I would just go in and watch the students. And of course, I didn't keep my eye on them all the time, you know, but I'd kind of glance out the window and I'd walk around on my crutches or whatever, and thoughts run through my mind, and think about different things. And mine goes back to Ecclesiastes a lot, thinking about how Solomon, you know, would study the days. And you know, Proverbs, he was giving out wisdom. I've said that many times. In my opinion, I think to live by Ecclesiastes, he tells you what he realized or what he summed up, I guess, for at the end of his life, kind of, you know, what the days really meant or what the wisdom was good, but only lasted for the days that you were here and what was really important. And as he looks at that, and, you know, he, of course, he gives advice to the young and advice to the old as he goes through Ecclesiastes. And I think about that sometimes, and as our days go by, and as I watch my kids grow up, and I saw Maggie, she walked that little dog this morning, and she come running back up the street with it and put it back down. The dog went the other direction. She had to chase it and get it and walk back up the street with it again. And I thought that's how we are a lot of times. I guess Lord wants us to go one direction, do one thing, and he gives us opportunity, and we take off going another direction. He has to scoop us up and bring us back up the road or bring us back up the hill, so to speak. And I thought about that as she had to scoop it and bring it in. Of course, when she came in, she was fussing about it, not wanting to do what she wanted to do. But she'd do anything for that little dog. And I thought about how we can sometimes be as stubborn in our ways, in our daily life, and I think about some kind of advice that Solomon tried to give us, tried to guide us, and that's why we'll look over in 1 John today and spend a little bit of time there, not long, and look at some of the advice he's trying to give us, advice to live by, things to remember, things for us to rejoice in, things to keep in mind. There's one night of the Vacation Bible School where it's John, of course, he's on the Isle of Patmos. And I told him, you know, for the little kids, young kids, talking about Heather and Carol's class or toddlers, I couldn't think of that at the time, or kindergarten, and especially, I thought, now, how are you going to teach that? You know, I was thinking about Revelation, because to me, that's a really, the whole Bible's deep, I mean, way above our way of thinking. You think about it even being written, but really, when you get into Revelation, boy, you really have to have somebody that studied that out, and I thought, you know, Isle of Patmos, that fits with their theme. And then, but the pastor he'd mentioned, he said, well, it's just you think about how faithful John was, and the ridicule that he put up with, and not just ridicule, persecution, and he still stuck with stuff, and he ended up on the Isle of Patmos, and that's kind of the direction they could go. Then I thought, you know, that's right. And so as I went back and I looked at his life, I thought that looks a lot like Solomon. And he didn't put up with have any ridicule or persecution. If you'll look, you know, during David and Solomon's reign of Israel, they saw some good years, Israel did. and really good years. But as soon as Solomon died, it wasn't long, the kingdom was split. And it didn't take long at all for that to happen. And then he took a downward spiral. So I think about that in our lives. It doesn't take long for something to happen, something to come along that might cause a problem in your life, whether it be health-related, it might be something in your family, could be a situation going on there, could be work-related. It doesn't take long for things to happen or occur that your life may spiral down, kind of like, again, that little dog this morning running away from Maggie. She'd run, scoop it back up, bring it back, and he'd want to do the same thing again. And I think about that, and I think that's what Solomon over in Ecclesiastes was trying to tell us at the very end. That's what I'd gotten to so I could read. But then John's trying to, in 1 John's trying to keep it straight. He said, keep this in mind. And even on the Isle of Patmos, when he was writing Revelation and was inspired to do that, he wanted us to keep in mind who we serve. And it's Almighty God. See, where was that? That was this week somewhere. I heard on the radio, one of those AM stations I was trying to go through, and what caught my attention is it was just zipping through how it scans, and it stopped on one, and it said, if you believe God is almighty, so that made me stop. And what he was doing, he was answering a question. I don't even know who the fellow was. I didn't stay on the station long because I guess they was just answering questions in general. It wasn't really a gospel station, but he was answering a question about our nation. And his question, and I wish I'd heard the very beginning, but the way he answered it was, if you believe that God is an almighty God, an all-seeing and all-knowing God, he said, then you know that that's how this nation was founded. And in reverence of that and knowing that, then he went on to answer about how good God's been to us and how things have changed. And he was talking about the political scene. He was talking about just not even politics, but just how the nation has a different look to it. Today versus what it looked like years ago. He said some of that's just normal progression. And then that's what made me think again about Israel. I wonder if that's what some people thought when the nation split. Well, that's just a normal progression for that to occur. But anyway, as you're there in 1 John, I'll finish, you know, I want to read you a little something here in Ecclesiastes just to refresh your memory of what Solomon said. Then we'll read what 1 John, just a few verses there and skip around maybe a little bit in chapters 1, a little bit over in 2 and 3, and then we'll be done. And again, that's just as a reminder of something that John wanted us to know and not forget. And as I said, sometimes as I gaze out the window and I'm these thoughts come back to my mind and wanted to share them with you. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. See, I think that's of course, that's God inspired there that that's left. But if you go back, that's what Solomon did, even in Ecclesiastes right here at the end. He set out many proverbs. In other words, gave him a lot of direction, a lot of guidance. Preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright. Even words of truth. So what you find here is the truth, and what he tried to share with them was the truth. So the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the markers of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. In other words, he tried to, as a collection of what Solomon, I guess, had seen in his life and what he'd experienced, and not only the proverbs, but just what he had lived. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. And so what he's saying here is God's answered about every problem in life. But he's commanded man to live in joy and in blessings, and the Lord's blessed us. But not only to live in joy with joy, but also live with some responsibility. God's placed some responsibility on us, especially as Christians. And that's what we're going to look over in John, that John reminds us of. There's a responsibility that we have. So we can live in joy in the blessings the Lord given us. And if you go back and read earlier in Ecclesiastes, you'll see that each day that he's given you has been a blessing. And he even ponders and wonders why some men have longer days than others. But that's a question he can't even answer himself, as wise as he is. But he still said those days need to be lived wisely and responsibly. But as you look here, it still doesn't matter. He said the controlling factor in our life, or the thing that guides us, which it did John, even when he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, is a fear of God and a reverence for the things of God. And that goes back to, I heard that on radio this week when he was trying to answer that question. I don't remember what it was. It was some kind of political question about this report that's been released and current administration versus Congress and this, that, and the other. He didn't really repeat it, but the main thing, like I said, in his answer, I was surprised what he was trying to say was, do you believe in God? Is there a God? Is there a God in charge? Is there a God that knew all these things would happen? In other words, there's that fear of God. And that's what Solomon here, I think, at the end is trying to tell us, and that's what John tells us to live by. He says, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So out of all the Proverbs, out of all the books that have been written, out of the collections that we're told over in verse number 11, and I know you're not there, I am in reading, but he talks about collections or advice or the delight that you have in the things of God. Out of all those things, the number one thing is to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And to be respectful, to live joyfully, but also remember who gave you that and that opportunity. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so I think about that a lot as we live. In our daily life, do we remember that? Do we think of that? And do we see that? So now over to 1 John here. I spent that much time, but that gave me the thought of John, because I thought about John, and we were looking at Sunday school, Vacation Bible School, and what would be a lesson, appropriate with our theme, and Isle of Patmos, I think, is perfect. It's something I think that the children in their lessons as you go through, maybe they, especially in the younger kids, they don't have it that often. It doesn't occur as much as you would think a lesson on Moses or Noah does. So it's good they're getting something in Vacation Bible School. But more normally, most of our literature we order, you just don't have lessons on that. And maybe it is because it goes more in depth there in Revelation. But if you look over in 1 John, and we'll look at chapter 1. And we'll go through a few verses there, maybe down to verse number, 6 or 7. Then we might go over to, we'll see where the Lord takes us. And again, won't be before you long this morning. Been feeling a little better as far as standing and getting up and getting around, but don't want to overdo it. So we'll see how the Lord goes this morning. Says, okay, verse number, chapter 1, 1 John, verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which ye have heard, which ye have seen with our eyes, which ye have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. So everything Solomon told us over in Ecclesiastes, everything that we need to know is important in the Proverbs. The collections that he talked about are the things of value from God that he had jotted down, things he had shared with the nation of Israel. And see, I think about this, isn't it like I say this before, it ain't like a grandpa or a dad, you're trying to share the things with your sons or daughters. And that's what he did with Israel. And then as soon as he died, the country split. So did he really take heed to what he said? Did he really pay attention? I think about that today as Preacher Vinoy, Pastor Vinoy. He'll stand up to preach today. Pastor will stand up to preach. And will people really heed that as he puts the warning out, heaven and hell, in need of a Savior? And other preachers, as they stand up, and pastors across this land, evangelists, and around the world, they stand up and preach throughout this day. We often say, and I know Brother John mentions a lot, remember other churches that gather across this land. And I think about that when he says that. And said, well, we're on the Eastern Standard Time, and so we're usually about an hour ahead, 2-3 hours of other churches, so some people's just getting up and getting going, and they'll be meeting too, so we need to be praying for them. And I said, you know, the congregations, listen, do they take heed? Do they take the warning? And then when they don't, and some people leave, and maybe they're lost, you know, there's no need to sometimes we wonder, say, why aren't they walking the aisle? Something wrong, something different? No, the message is the same, and the message that Solomon gave to Israel, and the wisdom and guidance he gave them stayed the same. But what changed were the people. God stayed the same. And you think, oh, well, boy, if we had somebody like Solomon leading this nation, boy, we'd be good for 20, 30 years. And I'm not a daydreamer per se, but I think sometimes through stuff like that, you know, and I think, no, we wouldn't be any different than the nation of Israel. You know, he passed away, and again, the end of his life, he got kind of, mind got pulled away, and kind of got drifted away from God. He'll even say himself, you know, he had a lot of wives and concubine, and, you know, as he got to be an older man, then I think he looked back on that and things he'd done in life, and he let nothing that he wanted, I guess desire of the heart, get away from him, no matter what it was. He'd go buy it or they'd go attain it, and the armies were as strong as they'd ever been. You think, boy, that right there's something we need to have. But even as that occurred, again, just right after his death, it wasn't long. You can look at the years. I forget. It wasn't many years, maybe just 2 or 3 years, and the nation was divided. So you look at something like John, and John looks more at the heart, the spiritual side of it. He looks more where Solomon looked what he could see around him. But at the end, he said, hey, fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. That's the bottom line is what Solomon said. I'm the wisest man that's ever lived. That's what he's saying. And he, you know, God had told him that he'd make him wiser, and no point does he ever boast in that. But he's still saying, hey, that's the bottom line. John here looks and says, you know, this is a man that loved us, God-man, but we loved him. This is what we've seen. This is what we experienced. And he gives us a testimony of Christ. And he goes through that here in this chapter 1. And that's what, in our day, in the church age, we need to remember. Because we'll end up just like they did back in Israel's day. We'll think, oh, we've got us the right leader now. We'll be right on track. We'll be just fine. And, of course, you know, getting close to election in 2 more years, you're starting to hear that. And both sides are in the middle. It doesn't matter. I was talking about whether you're independent, Republican, Democrat. It doesn't matter. One's going to fix everything. Well, if one did, it's not going to last that long if you follow the Scripture, because that's exactly what happened to them and the way they live. But we begin there to look again, and I'll keep going. It said, seen with our eyes which have looked upon and our hands have handled of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So John's got a first-hand account. You know, I like somebody seeing something on first-hand. You know, when you got saved, when I got saved, you've seen it, it's your first-hand account. It's the account you've had. You've got a witness. In other words, you've seen something. And that's what witness means. You know, it does. You know, I watch some of these crime shows, and not them that's crime shows like the real life stuff. I don't like watching that. You know, I watch some of these those old seasons of that NCIS or something. You know, where they're trying to figure it out. You know, and I know sometimes they'll bring them in and they'll say, "Well, we got us a witness," and what they'll find out is get through there. That old that Gibbs, I guess he's the main one there. I'm trying to think of his name. He'll tell the other ones. He'll say, "Well, they didn't really see anything." He said, "I got to have somebody put them at the place of time." He said, "Do they have an alibi?" He said, "Or were they actually there?" He said, "Can they be?" In other words, you think about the time you were saved. You don't have an alibi. You were there. You know what happened. You was a witness to it. It occurred to you. You can tell others about it. And yours is different than everybody's. Now, a lot of people's testimony might be similar, but there'll be some be completely different. And that's why it's an individual experience that you have when you get saved. It's just between you and God. And, you know, that's something now, it's simple to tell somebody or to say, but yet for somebody that's lost, it's difficult to understand. And I think that's why it puzzles so many people, and in others it does not. They just let themselves go and go to the will of God. And there's others that may take time to try to scratch their head and say, now how is that? But what John is telling us here is a testimony of Christ, and the life was manifested and we've seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship. He's saying that, you know, wait a minute, I'm declaring that to you. I'm a witness. I saw something, and I'm telling you about it. So if we were at and I was talking about these crime shows I watch, these investigative shows, and they were having a trial, and they put somebody up there, and they swear them in and all that. And let's say you're on jury duty in real life, and you sitting and you had somebody come in and say, this is what I've seen. And they were believable. And the same way as what we see here, he knows the facts. He was there. Well, you're going to go by what he said or she said. And that's why here he says that we, which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. In other words, we're giving you our, witness statement, so to speak, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And you remember when we look back over in Ecclesiastes, what's one thing Solomon said first? And it wasn't the most important. But one of the first things he said, live joyfully, respectfully, responsibly. But remember, fear God, keep His commandments. Because God's given you that time, and you need to live with joy. Happiness. He never said happiness there, but I put that in. But I think about joy, I think about that. But now John here says that your joy may be full. So he's telling us spiritually, remember what you've got, because you're living in a world that hated Christ, hated your Savior. And they're in turn going to hate what you're trying to do as well. You think about that. So our days aren't going to be as smooth as silk all the time if you try to stand for God. You try to stand for the Bible, try to stand for the Scripture. You know, we was talking about, and not just here, not talking about Bible Way, but in general. And, you know, I found this surprising that this has even came up at work in conversation, which usually you mention it and the microwave goes off and the toaster oven dings and you look around and everybody's gone when you start trying to talk about things about church. But I was surprised that at church, probably over the last month or two, I mean at work, things about church that came up in discussion, even though some of us, you know, we might believe a little different doctrine, somebody else is that and the other. And with all that said, that the numbers of church, and I don't want to use the word membership, but let's just say people attending church is dropping. Those numbers are going down. You know, just last week again, I heard on the news, arrested some boy somewhere around here. For going in and destroying the inside of a church, busting up the pews and the pulpit and the windows. And they caught him, of course, had cameras and caught him, knew who it was. And I thought, here we go again. So, you know, you should never hear that. There's respect for the things of God, the people of God. But those times are changing. But what John here tells us, like over in Solomon, when he gave us wisdom and words to live by, so to speak, well, John is too, but John is keeping us in check on spiritual things. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's an encouragement to us. The love of God. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let's go over to verse 9. I got to turn a page here. See, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, that goes back, you know, what we say. I think sometimes, Billy Mitchell would say, they'd accuse him of preaching perfection. And he'd say, yep, that's right. That's what I'm preaching. Now, I'm not saying we live it. And we can't get to it in this body. But that doesn't keep him from preaching it. In other words, we need to strive toward that mark. We need to work toward that goal. You know, like an athlete, sometimes you're reading a paper, and I've been reading about these cross-country runners. That's big this time of year. And they'll talk about, boy, they're all reaching for this certain state mark, these high school kids are. They want to break. And there'll be a second off or 3 seconds off. But that's what they're reaching for. They're striving for it. Now, most of them will never attain it. Because one of those records, I think, goes back, I don't know, 18 years or something. That means somebody eventually break it. But right now, they haven't. But you know what? That doesn't mean the coach is not going to tell them. And every time you hit the ground out there, your feet start moving, that's what you need to work for. You need to, that's your goal. He didn't walk out there and tell them, say, well, now, you know, nobody's made that in 18 years, and you missed it last week by a minute, so just do the best you can. And that's what John's telling us here. Is I've said, so you know what? Said, you know, we may not be perfect, but we have a faithful God. We have a loving God, the one that saved us. And, you know, you think about, we have, an arbitrator. I think about that sometimes, a mediator with God. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, one we can pray to, knows what our needs are. And, you know, last week we talked about Lazarus, and even Pastor preached on Lazarus. And he didn't know that. In Sunday school class, I'd went to Lazarus, and he went to chapter 11, and that's what, and I looked at it from the standpoint we did in Sunday school class we did as a group, as the friendship that he'd had with Lazarus and then, you know, the family and how he loved them. And you think about that, too. And that's what John is saying here is how God loves us and the love of God. And if we say that we may have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If you look at chapter 2, then we'll go over to third John here in just a second, and then we'll be finished. Says, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. I see that's the word I said, arbitrator, but advocate is the same. I was trying to look that. I knew I read that, and it was somewhere in here. And I'm telling you, you get up here sometimes. Like I said, it's hard to find Genesis sometimes when you get in front of a group. And I knew that was coming up. I just couldn't remember when. It was the very next verse. So if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. In other words, we have a go-between. We have somebody to stand in or plead our case. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And see, you think about how deep that is, you can't even get that thought into your mind. I mean, that's just hard to do. And even being saved now, I still think about how deep that is. And then I think about, because I love history, I think about the amount of time that's passed and all the people that's lived and walked this earth since then. And you think about that. He died for all their sins. You think about that. And it doesn't mean in Tennessee or in America or North America or the Western Hemisphere, but all over the world. You think about that. And, you know, I've always thought this, of course, I've always been told, oh, when you get to heaven, you won't worry about things like that. And I won't. And then others, I've heard preached before, so when you get there, you'll know all that anyway because you'll have a body, mind like Christ, and you won't have to ask any questions because you'll know. But I always still like to ponder and think, too. You know, when the disciples and the early churches, they went out, you know, and the apostles had started the churches, and I thought, you know, did they go south down into Africa? How far over into Asia did they go? And did they, you know, go to Japan? How did the missionaries travel? I think about that. And we're still sending them out today, and what difficulties did they face? Was it similar? Was it similar in Solomon's time where they had everything that they wanted, and the kingdom was going along great, and they were wealthier than they'd ever been, and just within a few years they were a divided country and they were fighting each other? Or do you go back here to John, says, I know things aren't just perfect, and things aren't just like they should be, maybe in our world that we live in, but we have a Savior that loves us, cares for us. He's an advocate for us, arbitrator, go-between, knows what our needs are even before we pray. And hereby we do know that we know him. Now, looky here. Goes right along what old Solomon said. If we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we what? Let me read that again. But whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother, he is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. And I see another relationship there, just with Ecclesiastes, and you go back and you can and look at that and study sometime. And again, Solomon goes a lot deeper. But if you notice here, and just on the surface as we're reading those, he brings in the little children, which been saved. We're in the church. It's a new church age. As John's talking. Or you say, well, little children, is he talking in general to little children, small children? Talk about fathers, young men. If you go back and look, you'll see where Solomon there in Ecclesiastes, he talks about when you're young, when you're old, gives advice to both. Gives advice to the children, also young men, women, also to older men, or their eyes begin to dim, etc. And that's what, as John here, in 1 John, he begins to give advice as well. He said, I've written unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And you know, we'll read two more verses here, and I got one verse to wrap up with over in 3 John. We'll be finished. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It would have been good if Israel had known that, wouldn't it, after Solomon died. They got in a world of hurt, so to speak. Here I'm using the word world, and of course he says it here, and I didn't have to think about that. And we say that sometimes, and I guess in passing, just in their daily lives, but it is a hurting world. If you think about it, in a world without a Savior, if we had a world and we didn't have a God, if we didn't have a Savior, and Jesus Christ, you think about it, we would be in a world of hurt, I guess is what you would say. And think about how Israel must have failed again after Solomon. They mourned him for some days, and of course the sons took over. And if he could have warned them here, if John could have, he would have told them, said, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and lust of eyes and pride of life. Of course, Solomon already told them that. He says, not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In other words, those things are what's, they're not just temporal, but they're eternal. So John's very similar there in his description, but more from a spiritual perspective. And I think really more, and I love looking over in the Old Testament, New Testament, now especially in reading, studying, seeing what the Lord has for us. But John's really talking to, of course, church age here, to us, not to get discouraged, to stay encouraged. We got Vacation Bible School coming up, a lot of young kids coming in. You can be encouraged about that. Got visitors every Sunday here coming in. Maybe someone new at work, you see. Maybe someone you run into, and they get saved, and you didn't know it, and they come to you and tell you that. I mean, that's something to rejoice in, as John told us here in the beginning, to be joyful. And, of course, Solomon said the same. Have joy in your life. Be respectful, responsible for the things of God. And both John and Solomon said, fear God. Both talked about keeping his commandments and the direction we go. I got one other place I'll read here to you, and we'll be done. This is the last verse, and we'll be right on time today. I say that, and don't tell you how I'll get long-winded off this one verse, but I hope not. Over in the third epistle of John here, let's see here. Here I'm right here at the end. There I go again. I get right to Revelation and Jude, and usually can't find Jude because that's just a page or two there in your Bible. But sometimes you start looking for something. Let's see here. I think it's here it is. It's kind of kind of wrapping up John's message or his thoughts. Chapter 1, verse number 4. So it'd be two verses. So I have no greater joy. than to hear that my children walk in truth. And beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou dost to the brethren and to strangers, which have, in verse number 6, and which have borne witness of thy charity from the, before the church, whom if thou forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. And so I'm going to close with that, and just from a little bit from John this morning, a little bit from Solomon. Many years apart that the books were written. Of course, John, he got to visit with Christ and know him and walk with him. And Solomon didn't. But Solomon had the wisdom to look around and see things in the world and what was important to man. But what was most important was to fear God and keep his commandments. And that's the same for us again here today, as we saw John, to love one another, love the brethren, love the things of God. Because we live in the world that doesn't. So just keep that in mind. All right, you got a good break this morning.